Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope. And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Ahoy, ahoy, everybody. Episode 209 of The Scope Train just keeps a rolling, baby. Right down those podcasting tracks to infamy.
Podcasting tracks to infamy.
Huh? And glory. I am your host, Shane, along with the other two hosts of the show, Adam and Jared. Let's see how I mixed that up.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Shane. I don't have one. Sorry. I don't have a drop for you guys. I'm the only one who deserves thanks.
There's got to be an Adam. Got to be an Adam sound effect somewhere.
Will somebody get Thomas Middleditch on the phone, and we will get him to record versions for YouTube.
It's amazing. There's a lot of like rallies you could probably get someone saying something about an Adam and Steve.
What's on the show today?
Guys, we were away for a long time.
We were.
And last week we did a news episode because it's timely, but we thought we would take episode 209... or the opportunity in episode 209 to kind of catch up.
The opportunity. I like how you frame that.
It is an opportunity. Everything in the world is an opportunity. That is this episode.
This is the catch up. And
Adam is out. He does not want to share anything about his life.
Come on, Adam.
Come on, Adam. Right, come on, Adam.
You guys
come
got
on.
Me back.
Come on, Adam.
Come on.
Come on, Adam. Come on.
He's back, guys. He's back.
It's sort of like what up with that right
Gals
there.
Gals and gals.
Dude. Yeah,
exactly. He's like Lindsay Buckingham.
Come on, Lindsay. Come on, let me see that smile, Lindsay. My daughter in the background just uttered, oh my God. Yes, indeed. We will be talking about some of the things we've experienced this summer. It is going to be a hoot. We've also got, coming soon, and Adam's favorite segment, Hit It or Miss It. Come on, Jared.
Come on. You know you want to smile, Jared.
Can you isolate that? Oh my God.
What?
Can you isolate Audrey's oh my God?
No, I didn't pick it up.
It wasn't picked up.
No, sorry. She's not on mic.
It was disgusted. It was a disgusted, tweeny sound, wasn't it?
Yeah.
All right, guys. We've got a lot to talk about, so let's not waste all that precious time right now. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with more of episode 209. Of your favorite podcast. One of the longest running podcasts
ever.
Ever right now, Jared. We've got to be up there. Continuously running.
We're hitting almost our 10th anniversary.
Yeah.
So
I was doing a little research about longest running podcasts, and there are a few that have started a few years before us, but a lot of those are gone. They have not. So I would say we're in the running.
Should we contact Guinness?
Let's think about it during the break, and then we'll get our listeners the results right after this.
This is The Funk.
Singing Jimmy Buffett at the top of my lungs. Don't care who's annoyed as long as I'm having fun. Cause I'm a douche in flip-flops.
Chocolate pepper, cherry vanilla, chocolate pepper, diet vanilla, fusion pepper too. Hacking pepper, fracking pepper, the kind of pepper and pepper spray pepper. Wouldn't you like a can of chemical stew?
You can't get a human on the phone. You can't get a human on the phone. Just some robot voice, cold as stone. Get you playing games with your touch tone. Can't get a human on the phone.
That's the Funny Music Project at thefump.com.
THEFUMP.com. Chocolate chip ice cream.
Oh, gotcha.
He says, I'm sorry, we don't have any mint chocolate chip ice cream. So I ate that bitch. I'm a motherfucking T-Rex.
We are back with The Scope, episode 209, guys.
Shader of the Ween here. Shader Welcome to Drive Time Radio.
Yeah. Adam just watching. Adam's like the humorless newsman who's also on the show. They throw it over to Adam with some news, and they'd be like, President Obama today announced a new initiative. That's what he would do, Jared.
Pretty much.
Guys, it's a Scope Catch 'em Up. It's that time where we fill you in on what's going on in our lives, a.k.a. the Lazy Show. But, you know, we always bring a lot of hot takes to everything that we do.
Hot takes. So this is a hot take with you.
We're the Jason Whitlock of Minnesota podcasts.
Correct.
Who's that?
A terrible man on ESPN.
Okay.
So one of the things that happened in our break was Convergence 2015.
What's going on in the life of the most elusive Scope host? Let's take a moment and catch up with Shane.
He's just not as excited as he, as Adam or Jared. Yeah, it's 2015 edition of Convergence. Oftentimes we will do a full show. We will do video. We will do audio. We will capture every aspect of it. This year we did not, Jared.
Yeah, we didn't.
We didn't even talk about it. It was not even mentioned.
I feel like we've sort of
mind
done
that?
It. You know, it's like it's all just variations on the same thing at this point.
Yeah.
So we've done several audio shows where we've caught up, you know, throughout the convention and talked about what we've been up to. And last year I did a series of vlogs, which are still available on the YouTube channel, sort of showing you what goes on at Convergence.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's all sort of variations on the same thing. We went to some panels, we talked to some people, we had some drinks, we had some parties. So
yeah.
This year it was like, it's just relax
next year,
and enjoy.
Next year, our 10th anniversary?
Yes.
How about next year we all get GoPros?
There you go.
And just wear them.
And wear them and go and do this.
But the problem is you would not go. So what's the deal?
Got to go to the cabin.
He's got to go to the cabin. Well, maybe you wear a GoPro to the cabin.
Let's see what day. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
July 4th is on a Sunday. He's not going to be there. So, Jared, the one thing about Convergence that we've noticed is that every year it's like Convergence makes it harder and harder for us to actually attend it.
It does.
It's like it's out to get the young guys. Or maybe we're just getting old and we have less tolerance for shenanigans and hooligans. And
were you referring to yourselves as the young guys there a moment ago?
I was not.
Okay.
We are probably on the older edge.
Definitely.
I mean, I would say the average age there has got to be early 20s.
It's a younger crowd.
It's a younger crowd.
It's not an anime detour young, but...
But it's definitely maybe a late to post-college crew. A lot of people go there to party and have a good time and drink. And Convergence is interesting because it really is a tale of two cities, I guess, where you have that crowd, but then you have, I would say, some of the older, more, maybe even more hardcore geeks that tend to go to a lot of the panels.
Yeah.
And then they don't really have a lot to do with the party scene in the evening. I mean, I clearly felt like we were the oldest guys walking around for the most part at the party.
Yeah, except for maybe some of the party hosts.
Yeah. We were sort of out of the, I don't know, maybe the target age group for that
stuff. How did that feel?
How did it feel, Jared?
I don't know. It's fine. You're only as old as you feel, man. And I feel 20.
Did you guys like the Skrillex or whatever they play at those now?
So yeah, like that's one thing they have, sort of the dance party rooms.
Those were turned down. I think they sort of cut down on some of the volume. And part of it is there was a room that's been there that was there for several years called Nerdtron. Hasn't been there the last couple of years. That's the room that was responsible for most of the loud music during the evening hours. And they always had to kind of a spillover into the garden court area right outside the room where people would dance. And some people really liked it. Others found it obnoxious and annoying and sort of redundant, given that they do a multi-hour rave Friday and Saturday nights up in the main stage area. So, but that's not on the party room floor.
Not on the party room floor.
It's not that far away, but, you know.
Convergence was weird this year because we just got the numbers. This year. Weirder than usual. We got the numbers for attendance, and it was like 6,200 people.
Yeah, I think it's around 400 less than last year.
So it was definitely less than last year.
Yep.
I mean, it was weird, especially on Friday night, which is usually that's the big dog night. I feel like where things are really rolling. It was quiet. I thought it was.
Really?
I thought that you could make your way around a lot easier than you could. Now, I think that more people stayed later, but generally speaking, the level of people didn't peak to some crazy to some crazy extreme. I mean, you could pretty much get into any room you wanted, which is unusual, except maybe over by the con suite,
yeah,
which is always busy because you've got people, you know, jonesing for free food and stuff like that.
Yelling con all the time.
Of course.
Stuff.
So
I think their institution of the one-way policy several years ago has helped traffic flow quite a bit on those floors. And when people respect it, I think you can get around pretty easily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can only go one way around that loop?
They tape it down. So like the top floor goes around one way, the bottom floor goes around a different way.
What if you just want to go back one room?
And you're kind of got a plan for it. Yep. I mean, there were people who would break the rules, but for the most part, if you stuck by it, you could get through really easily. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, it was
very
simple.
Whereas in like years past when it was two-way traffic, you'd have just log jams in those hallways.
Which is fine when you're a young whippersnapper, but when you're old like us and you've got to get to your Geritol pills, it gets to be tricky.
Sure. Locked them in the room.
So the biggest drama of convergence, although there was a number this year, Jared, especially like within the people that run the show, I don't know if you were paying attention to that.
Nothing, come on, you know who I work with. I hear about all of it.
Sure. Which I don't know if you can talk about any of that stuff, but maybe you know.
I don't know enough details.
Is it too
really
inside baseball type
it.
Stuff?
It is. Nobody cares.
But
let's just say that there is internal drama within the convention staff.
I look forward to hearing some of that stuff that's not going to be interesting to any of you guys. But the biggest issue with convergence is always, where are you going to stay?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've got the main hotel, which usually is pretty much packed to the gills with everyone. And then you've got the hotel just to the south of it, which is where we've stayed the last couple years.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Please.
Last year, wasn't there another convention happening at the exact same time?
That was MarsCon in the spring when they were at that DoubleTree hotel as well.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That was a whole other weird scenario.
Yeah.
So you've got these two hotels, and then you've got another hotel right across the freeway. It's a short 10-minute walk, but it's not super close.
Right. Yeah.
And then you've got a number of different hotels that are sort of scattered along the main freeway area.
There's a lot of hotels in that area.
A lot of hotels. And a lot of it's for business travelers and for Mall of America people because it's right in that area. So this year they instituted a fairly draconian hotel lottery system.
Four hotels or just three?
It was four hotels.
It was the main hotel. Yep. It was the Sheraton.
Which was right next door.
Crown Plaza.
Yep.
And then some other fourth hotel I don't remember. Because ours was pretty good.
I thought the Days Inn was on there as
Maybe.
Well.
Maybe it was.
So essentially,
I went outside the system.
So essentially, Adam, what happens is that you can't just get a hotel for the convention whenever you want. You can't get a room. And we've done that in previous years. We've gotten lucky where we've gotten cheaper rates than what the convention rate was.
Well, you can, depending on how much the hotel has decided to allocate to the convention, because I booked our room at the Days Inn a week before the lottery.
Yes.
And got in no problem.
So the lottery happened in May, I believe. And how it worked was that every person could
it was like February.
Was it February?
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Talking about the news about what affected us. So essentially what you had to do is every person could submit a ballot or a form saying, I would like you to put my name in for this particular hotel. And I think that you had multiple votes per person. And then you could split those up. I think you have four votes?
You didn't have four votes. You just pick which hotels you were willing to stay at.
Gotcha.
You still only got one chance at it.
Okay.
Pretty much, I think. I don't know.
It was a very strange thing. But we figured because we wanted to stay in the hotel that was not the main hotel, but the one right next door, which only has like three floors, it's quiet, the rooms were beautiful. If the four of us, Carrie and Jared and Angela and myself, if we all put in for that, we would, fingers crossed, we would get the room.
Mm-hmm.
And we couldn't do what we did last year, which was get in ahead of the announcements for the hotels, because we did that and we got a really cheap room.
We could if we wanted to spend $300
a night. The hotel figured out this year, like, oh, you know, we're going to jack up the rates. So we didn't really have that option. So we put in our names for this hotel lottery. And right before they announce the who gets to go where, they send out an email saying, the Sheraton, the hotel that we wanted to stay at, they are under massive construction, and they will not have any rooms with double beds available. So, tough luck.
Yep.
So, all the people that went for that hotel were not allowed to put our name in for another hotel. We just were out of luck. So, Jared...
Right, because you had to have made your hotel choices, like, before the end of January. Whenever the first round of pre-reg closed. So you were like completely hosed.
Yeah. So Jared immediately booked a room at the Days Inn, which is the hotel across the street. And we're thinking, ah, it's the only other hotel that's close enough in which we could walk to and from. We'll be fine with it. We get a really good rate.
You got that TGI Fridays right there.
Well, Fridays is by the DoubleTree. We are next to the Chili's.
Oh, even better.
Yes. No. Oh, you would think it would be even
coolest
better.
Coolest place in town.
You would think it would be even better. It was not in the long run. But we got the hotel. And up until just a day before the convention.
I want my baby back. Okay.
Yeah, we did that. Just up until the day before, there was still drama because there was an announcement that, oh, this Sheraton did have rooms, but they only have king beds. And some people wanted to have that hotel because it was closer than the other ones they had. But they couldn't. They didn't know if they got the room, so they couldn't cancel from their original hotel. It just was a giant mess.
And then there was
a giant mess.
That was also the side drama of La Quinta being one of the hotels that people go to. And they had part of their external facade fall off the building and crash into the lobby.
So they a few weeks before.
So they were shut down.
Yes.
For repairs. And our hotel, the Days Inn, apparently went through a management change. Like just weeks before the event. And
oh, did I do that? I did not.
Yes. And so anyone who had a reservation there was said, make sure you call the front desk and confirm that you still have your reservation. So a really rough time for people securing their hotel rooms before the convention.
So the convention also has a, I'm doing this in air quotes, a robust shuttling system where they have a number of buses that run that will pick you up and drop you off at hotels all throughout the night, all throughout the day. It's supposed to be something. It's just a very simple thing, Jared.
Right.
And when we got to our hotel, which we can talk get into that fully in just a second, we said, oh, let's take the shuttle over to the convention right across the street. Well, what we didn't realize is there are two buses running. There's one that runs every hour, and if you catch that bus, the next stop from our hotel is the convention. If you catch the one that runs every 15 minutes, it's the one that's running in the opposite direction. So that bus...
You're going to hit every other hotel.
Before you get to our hotel. And the guy that was driving the bus for us, because, well, of course, we got on the wrong one.
First day on the job, apparently.
First day on the job, he was taking all... I mean, this is a giant bus. This is a city bus. He is driving through tiny little parking lots, getting stuck, taking the back roads, like the trash delivery stuff. There was one time where I felt like he was driving over like a wood slat bridge in Nepal.
Have you ever experienced a 3-point turn in a bus?
Because we did it all.
We did.
And eventually the trip that should have taken us 10 minutes took us close to an hour. And subsequently, we never rode the shuttles again.
And then
we walked.
Do you guys become like the president of the bus? I mean, you were there so long, you were probably the longest tenured.
Well, there were other people
that
got screwed into the same situation. So there's a lot of people that were like, what's going on here? And funny, one of the buses did hit another car in a parking lot.
Yeah.
In our parking lot.
It was a bit of a mess.
Yeah, just it wasn't well planned.
We just sort of gave up on the shuttle service at that point because we weren't willing to wait for the right bus, and it was never, of course, there waiting for us when we were ready to go. So
the fortunate thing was the weather was extremely cooperative overall. So
except
it was
for all that smoke from Saskatchewan.
It was. I mean, there was some times where it was smoggy and it smelled like burning.
Yeah,
it was very strange.
Like burning.
So Jared, let's talk about the hotel that we stayed in.
Okay,
and this will lead into my question for Adam after we get this done.
What's going on in the life of the most elusive Scope host? Let's take a moment and catch up with Jared.
So, Jared, as you said, we stayed at the Days Inn.
We did.
It's right across the street.
Yes.
What was your take of this hotel? Because I was fairly stunned when we got there initially.
Well, I sort of expected it not to be the best hotel ever. Because if you look at this hotel compared to even other Days Inns, it's run down.
Yeah.
It's dirty. It's just a little two-level hotel in a weird area that, you know, that whole area is sort of under redevelopment or run down. It's really not the best.
Is it a motel or a hotel?
It's a hotel.
It's a hotel.
It's a hotel.
Holiday Inn. Okay.
Yeah, it's a hotel. The carpet was probably about 20 years due for replacement.
The common areas are due for a lot of work.
Yeah.
The carpet is worn out. I mean, it's on the stairs that you took to get to our second floor room. It was almost worn through. Like you could see the structure underneath. Just kind of dirty.
The side door that we would come in, yeah. You could barely open the first door. And then the second door, which is supposed to be card keyed,
I don't think it
was just always, it was always kept open. And like the tile was smashed when you first walked in, so you could see the tile that they overlaid it with.
Yeah.
It was, and then,
it's really kind of a rundown, yeah. Dingy old hotel.
The rumor was that there was actually people living like living there. That's they live there, and I think we could verify because there were kids and stuff like that.
Sure.
I explained it this way. When I was growing up, I lived with my mom, and it was just her and me, and she didn't make a lot of money. So we lived in a lot of apartments, mm-hmm. and we moved around a lot. But even in the late 70s and early 80s, these apartments, which probably weren't very old, they had a certain smell and they had a certain look of them. And that's what this place reminded me of. It reminded me of an apartment building that was built in the 60s that maybe had slight renovations in the 70s and then had not been touched since.
Yeah. It was run by a family, I'm guessing. They seemed like they were family with the patriarch, who really seemed disinterested in running a hotel.
Yeah. He liked to go sit out in front and smoke cigarettes.
Right.
That's what they like to do.
You're saying it might make a decent movie.
I don't know. It seems like we were more trouble than, I mean,
yeah.
Dude, your hotel is probably at capacity for the first time since you've been in charge.
Yes, and you'll get this once
and
or twice a year, maybe.
It's a little busy, but you're probably making money, so what is the problem?
Yeah, the rooms themselves were not bad.
Yeah, except for our bathroom.
Our bathroom was sort of gross, but I mean, compared to the rest of the hotel, it was the best living area, best, you know,
right.
human area.
We had an issue with the plastic cover to our bathroom light just randomly falling off. Nobody was in there. It just tumbled to the ground. We're like, okay. And then by the end of the weekend, the TP holder on our wall was starting to fall off, like the anchors were pulling out of the drywall. And so I made sure that the management knew that this was happening, and this was not because of any wrongdoing on our part.
Yeah, Jared Winton had a discussion, a civil discussion with the manager of the hotel.
Right.
How did that go for you?
I just went down there Saturday morning. We were having breakfast, and I just, because they have a continental breakfast too.
That was the saving grace, by the way. Like, you could make your own waffles, which is always great. But yeah, I'm not sure if that was a consolation prize at best.
But getting breakfast at conventions like this is always a bit of a challenge. So having that available was nice.
Tied in. I mean, it was free. Normally, you'd either have to bring something or go somewhere. Yeah. So it was a decent way to start the morning.
So I just went down there and said, look, these two things have happened. It's not an emergency. You don't need to send a crew up to repair it. But I just wanted you to know that this happened, and it's no wrongdoing on ourselves. And he seemed very skeptical at first. And then he says, all right, I won't charge you. And I was like, well, could you make a note of that just so I know just so it's on paper somewhere that we had this conversation? And so he like yells, sort of half yells at his, I would assume is his daughter, maybe his young bride. I don't know. But this poor woman was running the counter all weekend, and tells her to, you know, write down our room and what we said and stuff like that. And he's like, well, how many people are staying in your room? I'm like, just four.
Like, what we're allowed.
Was he thinking like we had 20 people in there who were just crammed into the bathroom, tearing things up?
I mean, it was a very quiet group. I mean, the people staying there in general, if you compare to other hotels during
Convergence, like no parties going on.
It was super quiet.
It was for sleeping only, really. Yeah. And then he asked me about towels. What are you doing about towels? People want more towels, but you don't put them out, so I can't give people towels. That was his accent.
I have to go into it every time I do it. Yeah.
And then I had the audacity to ask for a iron and ironing board, and boy, was that, oh. He couldn't believe he had to go to the closet to get an ironing board for me.
Jerk.
Yeah, right.
It was something else.
Yeah, I know. And then I asked, do I leave it in the room or bring it back? Oh, you bring it back. Okay, I did.
Yeah, if you think of like an 80s movie or something, this is probably like one of those rundown Fleabag hotels
like
that you might
see. How dare you even come here and use this service and pay me money?
Indignancy.
That's terrible. Anyway, that was my experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hotel that I will not stay at next year.
Oh, then there was the whole parking situation too.
Oh, yeah, that's another good one. So
so when you check in, she's like, "Oh, I need your, you know, license plate and all that stuff like that, because parking's for hotel guests." Well, I'm like, okay, well, so I'll just have the other guests come and give you that information when they get here. He's like, oh, no, only one. So if we give out more, then there'll be no parking for everyone. I'm like, well, there's four of us staying here.
We didn't drive together.
How, So I managed to convince her to let two of us register. So we had to stash our other two cars over at the DoubleTree Hotel,
yeah,
which ended up working out fine. But it was just sort of like right from the moment we checked in, there was pain points.
It was very strange too, because in this rundown thing, this whole area behind it,
yeah,
there was like this gate, this chain link fence, tall chain link fence, and like woven into the chain link fence, there was old timey movie posters.
Really, I missed that.
Yes. And then and then they have like tents back there. I don't know if it's like for selling or stuff like that. And there's actually a giant replica of the Hollywood H from the Hollywood sign.
So
just
weird.
Sitting back there. I'm like, what is going on here with like bullet holes or something? And I don't know. But it was really just a very rundown, creepy area.
Yeah.
So I guess that leads to my question to you, Adam, is what's the worst hotel you've ever stayed in? I mean, you've done a lot of traveling.
Yeah.
Do you have any similar stories to this, like bed bugs or anything crazy?
No, I never had bad stuff like that.
What's going on in the life of the most elusive Scope host? Let's take a moment and catch up with Adam.
That's the best one.
Yeah, that's the one he did in line.
That's perfect.
I had more than one occasion where either I walked in and it was not my room. Someone else was already in the room that I was walking into.
That's bizarre.
Or the opposite of that.
And sexy
which
time
is,
happened.
It is way worse. When you're just hanging out, shame eating, because you're on the road.
Yeah.
What else are you going
to
do?
Hot dog pizzas.
And someone just walks in, and you're just like, and they say, and then they're like, I don't think I'm supposed to have this room, and then they just walk away, run away. That's always happened. You know, the worst hotels almost always are the ones where if your flight gets canceled or delayed, you know, for a night.
Yeah, you're going to the Days Inn
next
to Chili's.
They don't put you up like in the hotel in the airport. You know, like how some airports are super fancy. They don't put you in that one.
Nope.
They put you in the cheapest one possible with, you know, an agreement with the airline. And there was a flight that I had from Detroit to Lexington. That was a 5 p.m. flight that was delayed until midnight, and then finally they canceled it. And so they rebooked it for 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
But it's midnight, and they're like, all right, here's the hotel you're going to go to.
Like, what's the point, guys?
Yeah. The point is, I have stayed in the airport before overnight. I can't sleep.
So you're just sitting there.
Yes. One time Mandy and I had a flight from Orlando back here get canceled delayed overnight. And we went to the rental car area because no one else is there. Went, laid down. She was asleep within 30 seconds. I'm not even kidding. And I was just, you know, like my eyes are like, you know, you hear a noise every 15 minutes.
You're in fight or flight mode right there.
I've stayed in the Orlando hotel in the airport.
Oh.
That would have been nicer.
It was like for 4 hours. Because we had a morning flight flying back from Florida around Christmas a couple years back. And, nobody wanted to, strangely enough, get up early and drive us to the airport. So they paid for us to stay at the hotel. And we got there late and had to get up like 5 a.m. and catch
at least
up.
It was in the
airport. We were on site and we got to use the pool. And so, you know, we got a few hours of sleep.
Nice.
The worst hotel I ever stayed in, though, was it's a Best Western in like Mecklenburg, Kentucky. I think it's somewhere in southeastern Kentucky.
Confederate flag bedspreads.
Probably had moonshiners in your room.
Probably.
Yeah.
And Best Westerns are just weird. I don't know if you've ever stayed in a Best Western, but
are you saying that the best in the name is not appropriate?
Not so best.
Worst right. Western? Would that be?
And they're like a chain that's not, it's like a franchise.
Sure.
Sort of deal.
Yeah.
And
I think most hotels are that way, aren't they?
Well, really? But like a lot of them have at least like standardization.
Okay.
Right? Like every Hampton Inn.
Yeah. They've all got the same bedding. They've got the same system. Probably the same computer system.
The only thing Best Westerns have in common is that they're all wet. Just everything feels humid and wet.
Best Wetstern?
Yeah, there we go.
There we go.
And this room, this hotel, it looked like, what's that movie with Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase where it's like, Dan Aykroyd plays a judge.
And he's like in weird makeup.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about, but I can't remember.
Okay. Yet. So anyway, Demi Moore's in it too.
Keep talking.
It's a really
we'll find
bad.
It.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
It felt like it's like a southern mansion or something. It's like a giant bed and breakfast, this place that that I was in.
Nothing but trouble.
Nothing but trouble, yeah. It's a bad movie. Don't watch it. But yes, look at a picture of it one time.
Lovely.
When you pull into a hotel and the parking lot has two cars in it and it's a big hotel, you don't feel comfortable.
Sure.
And that's what that place was. Otherwise, I don't know. I've been pretty lucky. It's corporate travel. So, like, you know, I've never needed to really look for, like, the cheapest place.
Yeah.
Sure.
I can't, you know, we couldn't spend too much, but, like,
plenty of Courtyards by Marriott.
Right. See, I was lucky that I would usually travel to, like, populated places, or when I didn't, my options were so bad that
Lot of call for your line of work in cornfields?
Well, you'd be surprised. But, like, in Kentucky, there's a lot of school districts that are, like, you know, right by a state park, and the state parks have weird inns that, like, they just give you a key, like a literal key.
And you stayed in those places?
No, I wouldn't. Oh. I refused. I stayed one time an hour away from the school so that I could stay in a real hotel. Okay, I could get my points.
That's smart. That's cool. So what do we think about the rest of the con, Shane?
I think it was sort of business as usual for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably a good reason we didn't record it, because nothing out of the ordinary happened. I went to two panels for me, which is, you know, usually that's about 200% more than I normally go to.
I think I went to about five.
And Jared went to a bunch.
I found that given our lodging situation that we ended up spending more time on the site of the con just because it was a more of a pain than usual to go back to our hotel room. So we sort of, you know, drifted over at different times during the day, and then we would leave again in the evening for dinner sometime. Come back again in the evening and then go home. That was pretty much how we did it. Whereas when we were literally across the street, we would just pop over in and out all the time.
I found that by the time we reached Saturday, we, like, the party scene on Saturday night, we had sort of burned through it. I mean, we had seen the majority of everything that needed to be seen.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh, what do we?
And it's not
what do we
it's
do?
It's not like, you know, these rooms are changing out every year. A lot of them is the same.
It's the same stuff.
So.
All right, so next year we're going to, as a group, as a podcast group, we're going to rent a con suite and really finally get people listening and finding out more.
Well, guess
about
what?
Us.
There are rumors that a friend group of ours is going to get a party room for next year. So
that could be potential.
So that could
we
be
could
interesting.
Latch onto that.
Yeah.
Might be a daytime thing, but
well, we definitely need to lock down our hotel situation. That's that's sort of the make or break thing for
but
me.
But it sounds like a lot of the things that happened this year were, like, kind of, you couldn't have anticipated that.
Yeah, I mean,
sure.
I mean, Jared also has a little bit of a benefit in the sense that you get preferential lottery placement if you do volunteer work for the convention, and Jared actually did some of that this year. So we're hoping that will get us the room that we so richly deserve.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and you guys will all hail me as a conquering hero.
Well, we do that anyway, but now we can do it for reals.
Thank you, Jared.
So there we go. That's Convergence 2015.
Nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
The rooms were gross.
And the rooms were gross. No, it was fine. It was fairly drama-free for us.
I should show Adam the video I worked on that got me my volunteer hours.
Yes.
I should.
At work, do you have a thing where you can take volunteer hours off work? Do either one of you have something like that at your place of employee?
No.
Okay. No. I know what you're talking about.
We have that at ours. We get eight hours a year.
I don't think this is a non-
This isn't real volunteer.
This is a non-profit, but it's not.
This isn't, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not helping build homeless shelters or something.
Jared does work with one of the big shots of Convergence, so he probably could actually.
Well, that's the big problem is that we had to sort of take minimal time off this time around because we couldn't both be away for extra days, really. So I ended up working, you know, it's two-thirds of a day on Thursday,
which normally is Jared's got the day off.
Yeah, and you know, I worked half a day on Monday, which I normally have the day off too. So whatever. I mean, it wasn't too bad.
But we'll see how it goes next year.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Convergence 2015 wrapped up. Adam, I've got a million stories we could ask you about, but guess what?
Ask one.
Your mom's coming to town.
Oh, jeez.
I have one more update thing to bring up that's real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I have completed the Scope holiday gift guide checklist
for this upcoming holiday year.
Oh, so tell us what you got.
I was already a password manager subscriber, and I was already a CrashPlan subscriber and a Marvel Universe subscriber. I bought last Christmas the turntable that I wanted for myself, and the last thing that was on there was the Anova precision cooker.
You got one.
I got one.
Okay, I need to tell you something.
Okay.
Worst decision ever. No, Adam made.
I got a good deal.
You got the Father's Day deal?
Yeah, it was like $120 Yeah, Mike, at Amazon.
Our friend Mike got one too.
Mike Dahl?
Yeah. I don't want to make any implications regarding anyone's state.
Okay.
Pregnant women should not have sous vide food. Just want to make sure everyone's on the same page there.
Well, that's not going to be a problem.
Why is that?
Because technically speaking, you are not pasteurizing the food.
Mm-hmm.
So pregnant women have in the same range of compromised immune systems as, you know, children and the elderly.
Have you stopped using that cooker at your house recently?
No, I have not. Nice try.
nice
try. There's a different individual that also has one whose spouse is expecting.
I've only used it once so far because I've only had it a few weeks and I've been busy.
What'd you make?
It's sort of a weekend thing. I made a ribeye steak.
Okay.
Two ribeye steaks, technically. Grass-fed, delicious beef from Trader Joe's. And it worked great. Yeah. I just popped it in and I connected my phone to it, which was crazy.
Right.
I dialed up the temperature and time. And I walked away for an hour and a half. And then I came back and I seared it in my pan and we were all good. It was awesome. Yeah, I always sort of like get anxiety about cooking steaks because I always think, oh, I'm going to overcook it. I'm going to undercook it. Is it going to be right? I just, you know, as a man, I haven't mastered that technique. And now I've just taken that whole variable out.
Yes.
I'm just like, I'm going to set it to 130 and I'm going to walk away and I'm going to come back when I'm ready.
Did you set it and?
Forget it. I didn't forget it.
Right.
Well, I did forget it.
And your phone reminded me.
I did forget it, but my phone buzzed when it was ready. It was awesome. I was impressed with how fast it heats up the water.
Yeah.
I do need to get a larger vessel, I think, to do. What do you use?
I bought a Rubbermaid commercial, 18-quart tub.
Okay.
And then I bought it, and it was like $15, and then the top is also 10 or something. And I kind of cut.
Yeah. I've seen some DIY rigs.
Yeah.
I've just used my big stove pan.
Yeah. Most people just do
and
that.
It's just not quite large enough to really pull off a good, whatever this technique is to seal it in the Ziploc, the immersion technique.
Yeah.
But it worked well enough for this. So anything bigger than my two little steaks, it probably would have not been enough.
Sure. Yeah.
Interesting.
I love that thing. It's great.
Well, I did not buy that.
It's a good pick.
It's fine.
It's a good pick.
I appreciate that.
I'll make you some sous vide cooking at some point.
I would love to try it. I've never had such a delectable delight.
Strangely enough, it just tastes like food, Jane.
It's strange.
It's sort of the convenience of the whole process that I enjoy.
Yeah, especially like, you know, I have at times spent $20 on good steaks.
Yeah.
And then you get them home and you're like, oh, man,
I'm going to ruin this expensive meat.
Right.
Now you're like, haha, I got this shit.
He's got this. Adam, your mom is coming into town.
Yep.
Is she staying with you? Or is she staying at the Days Inn next to Chili's?
She is staying with us.
Wow. How long is she going to be in town for?
For a weekend and a day.
A weekend and a day?
Yep.
That's nothing.
That's as much time as I permit her.
And you got any good plans?
We're going to the cabin. She's never been to a cabin before. She doesn't know what to expect.
With your wife's family as well?
Yeah.
But that ought to be fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably not. But she also wants to go to the Walker. So I'll make
that's
time
good.
To
And
to
it's a shame she wouldn't be here because she could sit down on the Scope show. I would definitely have her in for an episode.
She had only bad things to say about you. After the reception.
She more than likely does not even remember who I am, so that's okay.
She said that funny Jewish man.
Nailed it.
Yep. Nailed it. All right. We'll be back right after this.
Three geeks on the internet. WSCP.
Under the Scope.
Adam is back with Coming Soon. Adam?
Yeah.
What's coming up this week?
All right. Well, we got some music. And as I was looking at this, I started thinking, when we were in our, what's your prime music age? Like when you knew the most about music, like 17, 22?
It would have been my mid to late 20s, probably.
Okay.
The 90s.
Okay. Yeah. Jared and I were probably both hanging out at that time.
So during that time,
early 90s,
if you saw a list of the bands with albums coming out that week, how many do you think you would have either known of? Just known of. Like, you're not like experts, but you're like, oh, I know them. Yeah.
At the height of our stuff, probably 80 to 90% of them.
That's about
if they were, if it wasn't country, 80 to 90%.
Okay. I'm going to read you who's coming out this week.
Yeah. I saw this list. I'm like, oh.
I'll tell you, because I probably listen to some stations that you don't through my Sirius XM radio. So okay. I may know more of them.
I don't listen to any.
B. Miller.
No.
Jill Scott.
Yes.
Catherine McPhee.
Yes.
That one we know.
Yes. Lamb of God.
I've heard of
Lamb of God.
Really? Nervo.
No.
Prince Royce.
No.
Nice try.
No.
Symphony X. We came as Romans.
Nope.
Those are your musical releases.
Wow.
This week.
That's rough.
How familiar are you with them?
Catherine McPhee. She's American Idol.
You don't know
right?
who Jill Scott is?
Sing me a tune.
I know the name, Jill Scott.
Is that Michael Scott's?
Yep, it's Michael Scott. He keeps it in the family.
It's the same as Jill Sobule, right?
Yes.
They're all the same.
Right? Is she pretty?
She's born in 72, soul.
She's a pretty lady.
Is that how you're going to judge your music?
You're on BuzzFeed. I don't know how that's going to help. I'm looking at your iPad right now.
Guys, I downloaded the BuzzFeed news app because I want to stay hip.
No, you have to download the Mic news app. M-I-C, like Mic Drop.
Oh.
Mic is a news website for millennials.
What does that mean?
I don't know. Ask the millennial in the room.
She's post-millennial. Who's the next? What's the next millennials? Yeah. What's the next generation? I feel like the millennials are just like catch-all for anyone under 25.
Shane, stop.
No. I want to find that.
What else is coming out?
That's okay, so movies. We've got Smush, the movie.
And I was like, Smosh.
Is it really? Yes. Smosh? All right.
I like Smush, the movie.
I was like, what is this? It's a comedy from
Lionsgate. How do you spell that?
S-M-O-S-H.
How have I heard of Smosh and you haven't?
I have no idea.
Because I guess I'm more plugged into the YouTube stuff than
if it's
you are.
Not Kids React, I don't watch YouTube.
Okay. We have a channel on YouTube. We're on YouTube right now.
If it's not Kids React...
Audrey, get over here and react to something.
this film stars YouTube comedy duo Smosh.
Okay, yeah. I've read about
them. They're one of the biggest YouTubers out there.
Are they making $7.4 million a year like PewDiePie?
They're not PewDiePies.
This movie co-stars Michael Ian Black.
Well, they were
and
there
Louis
at the
CK.
Beginning. They were like one of the first big stars of YouTube. And
so are
video.
We, the first big stars of podcasting.
Yeah.
Anyway, Michael Ian Black
if
and
longevity
Louis C.K. are in this
oh,
movie.
Oh, it counts.
Paper Towns
yep.
is also coming out. This is another drama, teen drama from John Green.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Fault in Our Stars guy.
People are excited.
A little bit of controversy this week.
Oh.
Some Tumblr lady was like going on about how John Green's a creeper because he makes movies about teenage girls.
Why does that make him a creeper?
She used weird teenage logic. I guess
he seems pretty genuine and forthright in my opinion.
And I guess John Green has a very active Tumblr presence.
His yes. best friend is Jared Fogle from Subway.
Oh,
ooh, there's a warning sign.
Everyone's like, thank you, Jared.
Yeah. Ruining the brotherhood, you fucker.
That's just something I made up in my head, but I'm saying I heard.
Okay. Anyway, he responded, whatever. It was
fresh.
All weird, dramatic. Southpaw also comes out this week.
No. I missed my opportunity to do this.
Fuck that, Jared.
Thank you. You did miss it.
Home video.
Yeah, home release.
What We Do in the Shadows. This is 96% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, I've heard other podcasts talking about it, people who are into like horror stuff.
Yeah,
they really like it.
New Zealand-based found footage horror comedy about a group of vampires who live together in Wellington, New Zealand.
Sounds like a lot of different types of movies mashed into one.
Yeah, people seem to like it. And Wild Horses, which was maybe an almost direct-to-DVD movie with, who's the guy, Josh?
Groban.
No, from here, from Minnesota.
Josh Hartnett.
Just sold his Victorian home recently.
Some other
million, two
currently
million
on Penny Dreadful.
Hi-yo.
Video games.
Anything. Nothing.
We've got Breach and Clear, Deadline. Hatoful Boyfriend. One Chanabara Z2 Chaos. Phantom Breaker. Phantom Breaker, Battlegrounds, Overtime.
Wow.
Oh, do you have a PS4? Do you have PS Plus?
Yes, for those people.
Yeah.
For the listening.
I do have PS Plus.
Did you get the game, the free game that came out this week?
No, I rarely get free
Battle,
games.
You don't, like, they're
I've got
games.
So many games that
free
I games. Can't.
They're free. You should just get them every month.
I have a limited hard drive space.
Shane, just digital hoarder. Come on.
Digital hoarder, okay. Digital hoarder.
That's it for video games. I'm going to look up the name of this game while we do the next segment.
Which is? Hit it or miss it. Cut it. Hit
up a- right, no right. time.
No time. This week it's Jared.
I'm picking what I'm calling a hit miss this time.
Oh boy,
time.
This
it's
might be a
brand
trend.
New hit miss. It's a hit and or miss. That is the brand new movie Pixels from Columbia Pictures. It stars on Adam Sandler. Maybe you've heard of him.
He's a rockin' funny guy, Jared.
Stars of Peter Dinklage. And yeah. Some other people. I'm not really sure. The premise is that aliens have they've caught our transmissions of our early 1970s and 80s video games.
I didn't know that they were transmitted, but who knew?
All radio broadcasts are transmitted.
Whatever.
Are they radio broadcasts?
Who knows? They somehow have viewed it as sort of a, I don't know, like a... something to go over to war over?
Yeah, something to conquer,
so
perhaps?
They come back to us and attack us as our classic video game characters. And it's up to these team of gamers from the 1980s to fight them because they're the only ones who can beat them at their own game.
And they are all socially inept. Yes. They've got their own problems.
There's a Pac-Man, there's a Space Invaders, there's a Donkey Kong, there's all of your classic games. This could be either really good or really terrible.
Well, I'm going to tell you, my daughter is very excited for Pixels.
I think
it's the Paul Blart crowd.
I'm just hoping that it isn't all just, hey, look at that thing. Hey, look at that thing. And then the story
Dig Dug. Oh, no, yay! He's shooting at us.
And the story is just garbage.
You're hoping it continues the Wreck-It Ralph tradition of good video game movies.
Like this, I mean, this could tie in, like Wreck-It Ralph did some interesting things.
It's
this,
the one. It's the exception.
It's
so
the
far,
one.
Right?
So, yeah, it could either be, I don't think it's going to be middle of the road. I think it's either going to be great or garbage. Maybe that's our new segment, Greater Garbage.
Greater Garbage.
I'm going to write that down. That's going in the notes.
And just a quick follow-up, Rocket League is one of the free games on PS Plus for PS4 this week, this month. It is a game where you drive cars and basically play soccer with the cars.
What's it called?
Rocket League. People love it.
I better get it.
Love it. It's free. If you own the PS4 and PlayStation Plus subscription.
Under the scope.
Jared.
Yep.
Take us to the bridge.
Take it to the bridge. It's good. I like it. This is part of the show where I would read your comments if we had comments, but we don't have comments, so no comments. If you have comments to say, write to us at comments@thescopeshow.com or call the voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. Or go to Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. All of those links are on our website at thescopeshow.com. Or you can watch us on YouTube. We're on YouTube, right? Yes, YouTube. Just like Smosh, we're the best thing ever. YouTube.com/thescopeshow. There you go.
What a presentation.
I know. I went to rapid mode. We're trying to keep it tight here. If you'd like to support the show, you can support the show on Patreon. Patreon.com/thescopeshow. You can support us directly. You can give as little as $1 an episode. Set a monthly cap or cancel anytime. Or if you're shopping at Amazon, maybe you missed your opportunity at Prime Day last week and you're still feeling guilty about it, head on over to thescopeshow.com/Amazon. Click on that affiliate link. A little bit gets kicked into our coffers. Doesn't cost you anymore.
Yep.
Shane, back to you.
Terrific. Adam, sorry you were short shrifted this week.
It's like every other week.
Sometimes it's going to be convergence kind of week. Jared, thanks for all of your input.
You're welcome.
For going to bat for us at our hotel.
Thank you, Jared.
You did it.
My name's on the bill, so I felt that obligation to make sure I wasn't charged for things I didn't do.
Sir, you're a champion.
I'm on the wrong tab to play the champion one. Sorry.
Anyway, let's take a quick break. By quick break, I mean a 7-day break. We'll be back with more Scope with Jared, Adam, and me, Shane. Bye for now.
Me, Shane.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.